Travelers, hitchhikers, weary people, it's time for another trip on the Earthship. I'm Roy. I'm your pilot. We've got Mandy for co-pilot.
Hey, everyone.
Sean, the engineer.
Hello,
get us
hello.
Through this. Yeah. And our guest for entertainment on this flight tonight, Mr. Nathan North. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you? How about yourself, Roy?
I'm good. I'm really good.
Good to hear.
I'm standing upright, sucking air, still feel a little pain. I know I'm alive. That's good.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't know you're alive without pain, right?
You know, without that, you don't know how good the good things are. You appreciate them a whole lot more. That is for sure.
Yeah.
So, it's been a while. Had a bit of a travel together. Yeah, had to refresh me, too, on when we first met. is that place even called Asian Nights anymore? What's it called now?
No. It's called Manny's now, I believe.
Manny's?
Yeah.
Manny's? With the weird, bizarre question, and you were with past Mars at that point in time?
That's true, yes.
Yeah, how far is Mars from Earth? It varies. We'll leave it at that. So tell me about the past Mars experience, because I also had you come down to Sheridan to the Wild Theater and do a show down there. You've come a long way since then, but tell us a little bit about that, the past Mars experience.
Past Mars was my first rock band I was ever in, and we had quite a good run. You know, we went about 8-9 years, put out a couple albums, played all sorts of cool venues like the Wild Theater. We got to open for Coheed and Cambria at the Babcock, Karen Billings, and played in Sturgis. All sorts of cool stuff. We played at the Metro quite a few times, actually. For halftime shows of the Outlaws games and things like that. Let's see, we won 14 Toonie Awards in our run, which is pretty good. You know, we just all got quite a bit of radio play off the zone. Past Mars was a kind of a rock band that met the edge of heavier stuff to more of the groovy stuff. Maybe a cross between like Red Hot Chili Peppers and Tool.
I do remember one thing in watching you play, and I believe it was not the Wild Theater. Cover songs. God, but I got to say this. The most killer rendition of Billie Jean I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, we did. We changed it. We dropped D on that. Give it that deep heavy metal kind of chunk and just ripped it, you know, add a little bit of Air Effects on there, which was the signature kind of spacey sound. It's funny, most people would, you know, you'd play a show and you'd rock some lick and think you were Van Halen or some, you know, amazing guitar player, and all people want to know afterwards is, what were those things you were playing with your hands, man? Because the Air Effects is a theremin. If you know what a theremin is, it shoots out an infrared signal, and so you looks like you're just waving your hands in the air, but then these sounds are coming out, you know, these space age cool synthesizer type sounds. So yeah, and that was a cool thing about Past Mars is we coined our own style of music. We called it space rock, and our first album was called Space Rocks.
Cool. You still got that set up?
I do. Yeah, I actually, when I played my one-man band show here in May, that show that you helped me get on up at Wyoming's largest outdoor concert venue there in Sheridan, I broke out the Air Effects for the Nathan North acoustic one-man band show. So, you know, for about 30 seconds, there was no acoustic involved whatsoever. It was pure raw synth space mind-melting sound.
I want to play with that sometime. That just sounds way too fun.
You can't touch my Air Effects.
Neither can you. That's the beauty. Nobody can. Or it don't work.
See, I can never get one past you, Roy. Dang it. Got to get up pretty early in the afternoon to get one past this guy.
Or late in the morning while I'm still asleep. So then from there, Cosmic Roots. Yeah, and I'm just sitting here rolling through my mind. And, you know, we got a kind of a little colorful history of, you know, crossing paths and everything, cosmic roots, and yeah playing the most brutal, intense, epic. Dangerous, epic show I've ever been on, with hurricane force winds, snow, hail, 4 inches of rain dropping in like 45 minutes, and then it got nasty.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was outdoors. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I'd like to thank you, man, for putting up all those tarps. Oh, geez. You remember you made like five or six trips to Walmart because you're like, he needs more tarps. This bed. He needs less blankets. He needs more blankets.
Yeah.
It was insane.
We had like 600 feet of stage set up all underneath a big canopy, 22 feet high. And the canopy only covered the sides and the top, and there was nothing on the back. And the back was facing north, and the storm was coming in from the northwest.
And the back was facing to the lake, so the storm was coming over this lake.
Yeah, we're getting lake effect, too. And I remember, you know, I was up there playing percussions with you guys, and when someone from off stage pointed over in the corner, and I walk over in the corner, and here's all the power cables, and they're down there in like 4 inches of water that's rushing like a river, and I step over to the edge, and I can feel it vibrate. Nobody got electrocuted and the show went on, and hand it to the crowd. They stayed standing out there in that, in all of this.
If I'd have to say that's the epitome of the show must go on. We were hell bent on playing that show, and we did it two nights in a row too.
Yeah.
Huh. And both nights were just as.
And the fans stayed.
Can you swear on this program?
Fuck that. You're not allowed to say a goddamn thing.
I almost said shitty.
Shitty, I think, would be an understatement for that show. It was one of those poignant moments in life, though, that I will never forget.
That's me either.
For sure. That is for sure.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I agree, even though it wasn't there.
My co-pilot over here is looking at us like, oh my God, you guys.
I'm just listening, you know, getting a feel for it all before I just start spouting words, you know.
She does good words too, like poop. I say shit.
Oh, wow.
She says poop. Sometimes she's a mom.
Sometimes I get crazy and I say poop on here because, you know, it's so obscure and everything. Just got to throw it out there.
Yeah.
You know.
Let loose.
By the way, have you pooped today?
Several different occasions.
That's good. All right. As long as you're regular, that's good.
That's going to be your trademark question from now on.
I don't poop, just rose petals flutter down, actually. And
you don't poop rose petals?
No, I don't poop. Rose petals come down and flutter into
the
toilet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured.
Isn't that what, you know?
My poop is enormous. I mean, people can't even, you know,
how
compare
are you?
Theirs
so small.
To mine.
Well, see, and before the show,
inside, though,
before the show, I'm asking for, you know, kind of what to expect, heads up. You guys never mentioned poop, so...
I wanted to catch you off guard.
You did catch me off guard.
She wasn't here yet when you asked, though.
I was.
Okay. See, that's what you get when you're late for production meetings.
There you go. You just now we have no idea what she's going to throw out here, what you're going to get.
I'm downright worried for the rest of the show.
Yeah. I'm probably going to get real, you know, I'm probably going to get super serial later about your music.
We don't let her have sharp objects, though.
They can't keep them from me. I have my ways.
It's wise.
Yeah.
Oh, so new stuff. Mandy wants to know about your new stuff. One man band thing. She's a one girl band part of the time.
Is she?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, what it is, you know, I had been in the Cosmic Roots and Past Mars, as we just mentioned, and all those years, and I was always the guy booking shows and, you know, coordinating with all the band on practice and shows and this and that. And one day I just got fed up of trying to deal with everyone's schedule. And there I booked this great show and nobody could do it. And I said, fine, I'm going to do it on my own. So, you know, I went to that show with just a guitar and my amp and a mic. And I sang and played through it. And I thought, man... You know, there's something to this. You know, I want more sound, but I want to play these shows by myself. So I developed the one-man band show that I'm currently doing. consists of a cajon drum, which is a little hand drum that I sit on, an acoustic guitar, a shaker, a melodica, which is a little instrument that's like a cross between an accordion and a harmonica. And I have a veritable plethora of pedals, floor pedals, and one of them is a loop pedal.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, was the loop. I've always been curious about the loops. I've seen it. I saw Ken Patterson. Or do you know who Ken Patterson is?
I do.
I saw him use one time, and that was actually like 3 years ago, and I was watching it, and I was like, damn, like I really want one of those, you know, because I was always by myself, so it's like, cool.
I've been wanting to get one of those and run my drums off of it when I'm playing percussions and run it through a loop and then start laying tracks over and play. I just thought that'd be really cool to do.
Can you tell me about that a little bit? Like, how are you... put all that together like that? I've never used one, so I really don't have a lot of...
Yeah, it's just basically it's a pedal that you tell it... You have to program a little bit before you start playing. You have to kind of... You have to tell it how many measures you want it to go. When you're dealing with more than one track, a lot of loop pedals have one track or one instrument, you know, you can play and then you can layer stuff. My loop pedal has three tracks, so there's a little bit of programming before the songs. You know, you have to figure out each track's measures. But yeah, basically, you just with your feet, you tell the loop pedal when to start recording, and then when to stop recording. And when it stops recording, it instantly plays back from the start. So what you get is a loop. You know, a lot of people would know it kind of as a hook. That's kind of how I try to equate it to people who don't understand what a loop is. So basically it's just, you know, a piece of music that's played over and over, until you tell the pedal to stop. All controlled on the pedal. There's different things you can do with it. But my whole album here in, Nathan North, that's entitled North Face, it's all recorded, on that loop pedal machine. With my cajon drum and shaker and all that other stuff that I mentioned in there for you. So, you know, what it really is you have, it takes a lot of drive and discipline to come up with a lot of music that way all by yourself. When you have a band, you come and you got four or five heads, maybe even more, sitting together, bouncing ideas off one another, creating, building, and, you know, you got four or five people who say, come on, let's get this done. Let's do this album. Let's, you know, but when you're a one man band, it's just you and you go to practice and, you know, you walk down to your basement and you're sitting there by yourself. So, the way I like to put it is you have to like to play with yourself a lot.
Yep.
Not going to go there. Not going to go there. So, yeah, we're going to listen to a little bit of this. I'm going to start out with track number 4 off that album, Suffer Through, and listen to this.
Cool.
I had a couple of thoughts on it just that hit me as I was going. You know, one was listening to the guitar in it, and I really like the guitar riffs in that and just the
Thank
way
you.
They came together with everything else. And then the impression that it kind of gave me, and everybody can take this however they want to, but it kind of felt like one of those songs you would hear in a movie, you know, mid to late 90s, almost like a Ben Affleck type of movie or one of those kind of movies or something. But it flowed really well. It was comfortable. You know, a lot of that music was really comfortable that were in those movies. And, I mean, they made the top of the charts and everybody loved it and everything. And it kind of had that feel to it a little bit. You know, it felt familiar in that way. You know, it was like I'd heard it somewhere before, even though it was totally new. It's completely brand new. Give us a few words on that song, and then, yeah, we can give it a listen.
Well, I wrote this whole album right after I had back surgery, and I was in a lot of pain. And you listen to the lyrics, and there's a lot of pain in the lyrics. There's a lot of life philosophy. And, you know, the title, Suffer Through, a lot of these songs and on all the songs I write, I want people to relate to them no matter what the situation they're in. And a lot of people might say, oh, that's about a girl. It's, well, no, not necessarily, you know, listen to it again. And it's the same thing with Suffer Through. It was just one of those tracks where pain was influencing what I wrote, and other life experiences, and just came out.
Cool. Well, let's, Sean, you want to spin it up for us and get it playing? And you do not have to suffer through this. It's easy listening. Unless you want to suffer, then you can. Okay, if you suffered through that, it's your own goddamn fault. Relax, chill out, people, and just enjoy the music for a change.
Chill pill.
Don't be uptight about it.
Diddly-doo, diddly-doo. As Wayne and Garth might say.
Yeah, just let it flow, let it flow.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, whatever they just said, you guys.
Well, see, that's music that you could ride to, you know, turn the bass up, or you could chill to it, you know, grab a glass of wine. Dim the lights down low.
Dim the lights down low.
I don't know. Mandy, could you have sex to that music?
No, I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know?
That's weird, and I don't want to talk about it.
Someone Sorry. Had to ask.
I'll talk about poop, but I won't talk about anything like that, okay? I'm just, I don't know.
I think you need to rethink your
She's turning red.
Conversational
She's turning
topics.
Totally yeah. bright red over there.
Yeah.
It's only taken me, what, 3 months or 2 months to get her to turn red and totally embarrass her. Finally did it.
Yeah, I know. Totally did.
My
I'm
life
so
is complete.
So embarrassed right now. Oh, my God.
So
I'm going to get you back, just so you know. Just wait for it. Anyway.
Oh, game on.
That's right.
It's all yours, baby. Take it away. I'm going to sit back and just wait.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I was just, you know, right before we came back talking to him.
I'm going
to
go poop.
You know. Are you? Aw. Well, I hope you have a good time. I hope it feels good. Well, anyway, I was just going to say that I have also seen your name, Nathan North, around quite a bit. And have been wanting to see you as well. Because, you know, singer-songwriter. Oh, my goodness. I want to go see him. And I've heard so many good things about you. You know,
oh,
other
really?
People. Oh, yeah. Everybody says that you're just awesome and everything. So,
wow.
I'm like, well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he is. I mean, his name's everywhere, you know. So, I've been meaning to come see you. But I was kind of happy when he told me. Yeah, I was happy when he told me I was going to get to meet you tonight, finally. And I actually get to listen to your CD. I saw it sitting here a couple of weeks ago.
It's been and sitting here for almost
for
a month.
For a while. Yeah. I saw it sitting there. And I was like, you have this CD? Like, I've been wanting to see this guy.
But you
like,
were gone off playing, you know, down south.
Yeah, I was down south.
Half the time
I was with my family down south.
Where family trees look like telephone poles. That far down south or not quite that far?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm not sure what else to say. I mean,
I think you guys should do a show together sometime.
Yeah, of course I would say that, you know, but...
No, just, I'm saying that.
You know, I'm just, you know, I'm not all that popular, you know. I'm awful, you know, advertising myself.
I've heard of you.
But this year, you know, is the year of Mandy advertising herself, so hey.
Shameless self-promotion.
Oh, definitely. I was doing it the other day. I had flyers for the upcoming show, and I was just handing them out to strangers on the street. Hey, you guys.
I love doing that.
I feel so creepy,
you know,
though.
I miss that. It used to happen in Billings quite a bit. And you go to a big city and there's people that stand around and give out flyers and give out different little magazines and stuff like that. I kind of like that.
Well, I wish other people would. I felt a little bit creepy and awkward for some people.
Especially if someone's handing me a flyer like that, they generally know something about the show. And I can ask them, you know, what kind of music they play? Where are these guys from? Who are they? Tell me about them, whatnot.
A lot of times it's the bands themselves handing out the flyers, doing the legwork.
They're the freakiest ones that I get flyers from, too.
Well, the best.
You know? I love them.
Best ones to talk to, you know.
Of course.
Well, I guess I have one question. What are some musical influences for you? It seems like you have a pretty wide range of music you like to play and everything. So, I mean, who are some influences? Anyone at all?
You know, I love the 90s music quite a bit. Red Hot Chili's, Sublime. Big Pink Floyd fan. Back in the day, I was into a lot of hip-hop. I actually started my music career being a hip-hop producer. And used to do... a lot of shows with a guy out of Bozeman. He still does all sorts of shows. His name's Nickel B. But we used to, before he did his thing he's doing now, we used to be in a group called Five and Dime. And I produce all the beats. And it was the only hip-hop show you'd see where a guy was playing live guitar and rapping at the same time. So we had a little run doing that. That was pretty fun. But that kind of helped me. With the building blocks to do the one-man band show that I do now, you know, because when you're producing hip-hop beats, you know, you make the drums, the bass, the percussions, the guitars, the keys, the horn, all that stuff, and then, you know, you're putting it together for as one beat. So a lot of that experience really helped me to have the know-how and the knowledge to do the one-man band show.
Cool. And just let everybody know, we got a stowaway that we just found here on the ship.
Stowaway.
Yeah, stowaway. Mr. Chameleon from Young Hitters just
going
happened
on?
To appear. He's going to hang out with us for the rest of the show here and listen to a little bit of the music. And yeah.
The more the merrier.
What he's going to do. Yeah.
The more
definitely
the
more the merrier.
Yes, sir.
For sure. So. Next thing we got coming up here, we sat down and kind of went through some of this stuff, and, you know, I kind of like the tracks that we wound up selecting, and we went through this and kind of agreed on the same ones and rolled through this transformation.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the suffering through and where that came from, and it was, you know, more about the physical pain, but it does transcend over into emotional pain that goes with it.
Yes.
And I can see how people would look at that and see it being about relationships and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool the way this is going, even though these songs aren't in the order that they are on the album, but we're going over the transformation. It's almost like there's a journey happening here, because after you get through anything like that, you got to transform to come out of it. You know,
absolutely.
You look at people, whether they're going through a relationship, whether they're going through, you know, something like you did with the back surgery and stuff, going through cancer, anything. When you come out the other end, you're not the same. You're not mm-hmm. the same person.
No.
Well, so tell us about that transformation. It's got a little harder edge to it than the other stuff. It's a little bit of an edge on that I noticed.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things I tried to do on the album is there's, you know, you'll hear some soft stuff. You'll hear some stuff like Transformation with a little more harder edge, like you said. You'll hear some straight funk stuff. You'll hear some feel-good songs. You'll hear some heart-wrenching, feel-bad song. You know, I tried to cover the gamut. And Transformation is, yeah, it's about, you know, being caught in a place, but seeing hope and seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Just about the time I thought I was done, everything flipped, saw transformation. That's the hook in that song. And, you know, like I said, all these lyrics I wrote after I had this, really difficult surgery. And, there's process of recovering and healing. And, you know, like you said, you put it perfectly. It's all part of the whole picture.
So I got to ask here, and you know, you've heard people talk, you know, in the music industry when they're talking about artists and stuff and their albums that come out at different points in their time and time in their life and things like that. How much of a catharsis for you in the healing process and letting go of things and stuff was this album to produce and create? Was there a real cathartic effect and moving through that and letting go of things?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it was, maybe took 2 or 3 months to write and produce and record the whole album. I recorded it and produced it in my studio, North Studios. And yeah, you know, it's a process. As I said, I sat down, wrote all the lyrics first. Then I went in and said, okay, I got to put music to these lyrics. And then I got to make them work for the loop pedal. So, you know, by the time I finished the album, and it's a whole process. I mean, with the production, getting it to the printing company, doing the graphics, I did all the graphic art myself as well in my studio. So yeah, it is true. You know, there was a healing process that went along as the album developed. And when it finally came out, you know, I definitely certainly felt a heck of a lot closer to 100%. Than I did before the album started, you know.
So what's the public response to that been?
It's been really good. You know, I have my albums available on iTunes, Spotify, Napster, all the main digital distribution sites. It's available on CD Baby. You can order a physical copy of it or download it. And just 2 days ago, a guy in Brazil bought a copy, you know, so it's like, yeah, never made it big here in America, but it's doing great in Honduras. That's the great thing is, you know, I've had response like that from people, you know, across the world and people close to home too. It's just, this album came out a lot better than I ever expected it to be. I honestly just thought I need something here to give to people at the end of shows so they remember my name. And when I finished the album, I said, geez, actually, I came up with something kind of cool here. It's a unique sound. When you hear the music, you think, oh, that's a drum kit, that's a band. And it's, no, that's one person, you know, playing, doing all the bass and everything, all the drums. And no, that's not a drum kit. That's a cajon. If you knew what a cajon was, it's a box. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks like a wood
one.
Box. Yeah.
Bad.
You can build one. I build one for $20 out of materials in your garage. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You build one and they sound great.
I saw the store the other day and was like, I want one of these.
Yeah. They have them over at Hanson's.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah.
More saw it.
Yeah. But, you know, I built the first one I used and used it for about a year, you know, doing all my solo shows and all the places I play. And this last, before I recorded that album, I bought a real nice cajon. It was like $700. It's acrylic with Bubinga head. But I'll tell you, the one that I built for 20 some bucks in the garage almost sounds as good as the one I spent too much money on.
Yeah. It's amazing how some of that Yeah.
Yeah.
Even drums. Some of the things that I played in one of the cheapest pieces of crap you'd ever imagine, and they got such a cool sound. I love them. And then I'll pick up a really expensive drum, and I'm like, this just isn't quite... I'm struggling with my bongos right now. I can't stand them. Uh-huh. Everybody else loves them. I can't stand them. They're just not the sound that I want out of it. And it's all about what your preference is and what you connect to that's making that sound. Does it flow with you?
Yeah.
Does it resonate with who you are?
Yeah. Always said, you know, it's not the gear. It's who's playing it and how much passion and love they have for what they're playing.
I was walking down the street downtown here one night, and I heard music, and I heard a drum, and somebody was beating on a drum, and I'm like, ah, cool, percussion. Somebody's got a drum over there. And I go walking over, and there's this dude with a guitar, this guy that's got one of these wire rack CD stands that stand in your corner, but it's made out of wire, and a stick he picked up, you know, a broken tree branch. And he's playing this thing, you know, raking it with it like a washboard. And the drum I heard was the lower third of a plastic 55-gallon drum that they had stuffed under the steel bench and wedged it in there and was playing it. And got to ask him if I could sit down and play. And I wound up there for an hour and a half playing with these guys. And we just rocked it right downtown in the, you know, down there underneath the little skyscape thing that's down there. And it was such a great time. And the only instrument was the guitar, and it wasn't a very nice guitar by any stretch, but it worked. It worked. There was a lot of passion there.
Yeah.
And it worked. Well, just so we can keep rolling with time and everything here tonight, I'd like to check out Transformation and see just where this goes and where the change is, and let our stowaway listen to a little bit of this and see what he thinks about it.
Spin that.
Stop.
that expected last note.
I loved that song personally.
Yeah, I liked it when I listened to it.
Keep you on your toes.
Definitely, definitely. And I like the way it just rolls out at the end. Any other artist literally would have done that one last thun on the end of there. Why? I don't know.
Well, he did his own thing to it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure I always like that last dung in the end of the song, that last closing note. Do you really need it? Does it have to be there?
You don't like the over-the-top power rock ending?
How dare you say such a thing, Roy?
With extra drum rolls and...
Am I committing sacrilege here? Am I breaking a tradition of music that's permeated our culture since the industry whores took it over and... said it has to be this many measures and beats.
I don't think so, Roy, because I think that simple music is actually more popular than complex music. So I think you're on the right path.
I agree with him on that.
It depends what I'm listening to. Sometimes I don't mind that intellectual stuff, you know. I'll sit down and listen to Mozart. I'll listen to other stuff where it actually takes effort because I'm a little ADD and I want to shut my brain off and I don't want to think about all them other things over there in the corner that are shiny and that sparkly thing up over there and look at the squirrel and all of that. I want to put some effort into it. But 99.9% of the time, you know what? I'm fucking lazy and I just want to listen to music that I enjoy that's easy.
I'm picking up what you're laying down, man.
I just enjoy music that people, I don't know, the artist that is playing the music is like you can actually feel their emotion and their passion throughout the music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just love that.
I connect with them then.
I really like that last song. And that song was more of a, I don't know, it had a little bit of a sad feel to it, but I like it.
And what I like about
that's
that
the kind of things I like.
Philosophical.
Yeah.
I feel like I know the person when I connect with a song like that. I feel like I'm not only connecting to the song, but to the person, like I know them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's should be the ultimate goal of any artist out there is to get people and fans to relate to your music. If they're not relating to what you're doing and to your music, they're not listening.
It's almost an insult.
Yeah.
To what you're playing. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, I enjoyed that song very much, sir.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm not sure what else to
say. Boy, you're awful quiet up over there.
I'm taking it all in. I'm just, you know.
I was doing that earlier, but, you know.
I'm enjoying it, so.
Then I gave myself, you know. Talking in my head and told myself to get in the game.
Yep. She's in the game this week, too. She's in the game this week.
That's what you got to do.
I'm trying, okay.
Yeah.
Just don't hate the game.
Yeah. Let go, good poop, relax yourself, get in the game.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. I did. I was regular today, so I do feel good in that manner. So thank you for that. It's true.
No, thank you for that information. That's
I know I'm really appropriate. I'm a very
satisfying information.
Thanks. I thought I'd keep it classy on here. So
I'm just wondering where it's going to go next. We did a show on breasts.
I missed that one.
You missed that one. I had two experts on breasts here.
Yep.
I happen to be an expert on breasts.
No, you're not. You don't have any.
Oh.
These two had some.
They did.
Both of them have breasts.
I don't know if I'd call myself an expert on breasts, though, I mean,
You know more about them than we do. You get to look at them more than we do.
Gynecologists are experts on vaginas, but they don't. Yeah. Most of them don't have vaginas.
That is true.
That is true.
Thank you.
I mean.
The fucking voice of reality sets in. God dang. Yeah. Reality sucks.
And how many years of schooling did that take?
Good point.
Yeah, exactly. What do you want to be when you grow up? How does one even choose that as a profession?
I would assume, like everything, you have to have a passion for it.
I have a passion for it.
It starts there.
Good answer.
Okay. Right. Now where do we go?
Time to pivot.
Yeah. Where do you go from vagina? I mean, just, how do we bring this back around to music?
We have gone down.
Yeah. Moving on down the line here. That time. Tell us about that time.
That time.
That time. By the way, that time refers to the next song we're going to listen to. It has nothing to do with vagina. So,
but it should have something to do with it.
Yep.
It's song 10 on the album, entitled North Face, and it's the feel-good track on the album. It's just, you know, when I wrote the song, I kept thinking Cheers, you know, the theme song to Cheers. Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And
theme song. I love that song.
I hope that's not
and
a vagina.
It's just like, well, yeah, you know. Speaking on secondary subjects, you know. Yeah, so it's just about feeling good, being in the place where all your friends are and having that good time of the week, you know, if it's Friday or whatever, when you just got off work, or, you know, when I wrote it, I just imagined myself playing a show somewhere and with everyone's having a good time and feeling good and letting go. And that's basically what the hook says.
You know, I think I just want to throw it out, that feeling doesn't have to be attached to one place or one group of people. It's just carrying it with you.
Yeah.
Carrying it with you and feeling good. And that's,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I throw that out to everybody. Feel good, people.
It's a choice.
Definitely feel good. So
only you are responsible for your happiness, everyone.
Absolutely.
Listen to a jam while you're being happy, you know. Or if you're not happy, yeah, listen to something that will
Don't
make you happy.
Don't worry.
You know?
Be happy. Yeah, that's right. I hate that song.
Be happy.
Be happy. I do that.
I like that song.
I like that song.
I can't stand it.
You know, he does all that song with his vocals.
I know.
So you got to give him some credit with
that. Oh, he's amazing. It's amazing. The whole thing's amazing. I just got burned out on it after about the 10,000th time in 3 months that I heard it.
It's still funny, though. Every time it comes on, I'm like, I don't know. I can't help it.
Right. Sometimes I just don't want to smile and I don't want to be happy and I want to be pissed off. God damn it.
Oh, Roy.
Like,
it's that time, man. Just feel good and let
4:45 when I'm trying to get to the Heights and I'm in a hurry. No, when I'm leaving the Heights late for class at the college, so I take Airport Road because it's a faster way to get there, and it was back when it was a two-lane, about the same time that song is popular, and I got behind somebody that drove 35 miles an hour all the way from Main Street to the airport, and the oncoming traffic was too heavy to pass him. Don't fucking tell me to be happy! And that's always when it came on, 10:15 in the morning. I think it was on like 93 or something.
The universe was speaking to you, my friend.
They were trying to tell you to be happy, you know?
I know.
That's what it was trying to tell you, even though you were really pissed off.
I was
embracing
my road rage. I was really embracing it. I was really getting into it. Man, I could throw out a rant back then that was just, it was a rant. It was a good one. I should have recorded some of those. They were great rants.
So pop in the corn CD then and get Bobby McFerrin off your radio.
Yeah, something
are you
like
in
that.
My head? That's weird. Sorry. I was trying to refrain from saying a corn comment. And don't say anything about me and corn. Okay, I don't want people thinking, you know, just because, you know.
Too late. You already did it. You
it was
already
just weird because I was going to say that. And but I stopped myself. I'm like, Manny, don't mention
but
corn.
Were you referring to the band or poop again?
I'm referring to the band. Okay. You know, but I could be, you
it
know.
Wasn't the corn in your stool.
No, okay. No. Okay. It wasn't that this time.
But she is really into corn. I mean, really into corn.
Except for See You on the Other Side and the album after that. Those two albums were shit. But other than that, I love them.
Great band.
She knows the name of every album and probably knows the song order on every album and the title track from each one of them and everything. But that's okay, because I know all that about Led Zeppelin. So,
John Davis,
but they're a real band.
Nice.
They're a real band? Define real band, Roy.
There's going to be people outside with a gun pointed at me when I leave. Okay, it's
I miss that,
that time.
If it was an insult to corn, I should know what you said. Anyway.
We're going to tune out and go to that time for a second here before I get lynched and go any farther down this road.
Poor Danny sticks her foot up. Roy's asshole.
Slippery slope.
Yep.
It's that time to feel good and let go. It's that time.
Before we get into what I want to get into, I got a quick question I've been wanting to ask, so I want to ask it. I actually know Nickleby. He's a good friend of mine, so good guy.
Nice.
What I wanted to know is how your hip-hop influence has affected your music that you do now.
Well, as I mentioned before, it's definitely because I'm a one-man band, and back in the day I was the producer, you know, for Five and Dime. I produced quite a few other artists, made their beats and engineered and recorded them in my studio. So, you know, one of the hugest influences for me was being able to piece together all of the sounds in a full song, like a right. bass line, a drum. But a bigger thing than that too is writing lyrics and lyrical structure. You know, Nickel and I sitting down writing songs way back in the day, you know, like from 95, 96, even before that, is when we used to go up to KGLT, the college radio station in Bozeman, and we'd play a beat, you know, spin some wax instrumental, and we'd just freestyle live over the air, and just learning the structure of different kind of flows from hip hop, and the philosophy of what hip hop is about. It's probably just so important in the music I do today. I mean, I love good hip hop, and I think if you know, if you're a hip hop fan, you can hear that music and hear the hip hop influence of it. But yeah, lyrical structure, lyrical philosophies, things like that, you know, is definitely one of the biggest things hip hop and Nickel B influenced me with. I mean, Nickel and I had a 25 song album, and we were about 10 songs into another album before we ended up going our separate ways. But yeah, I got a lot of love for good hip hop.
Do you think the isolation of hip hop has helped you in your one man band? And what I mean by that is when you do hip hop, you're by yourself a lot of times. Even if you're in a group, you're singular. You know, in a band, yeah. you need the strings, you need the drums. You collectively need each other to make it work. Hip hop yeah. doesn't work that way. Has that helped you with this project?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, not just in the fact of putting together the songs and having the know-how and kind of the direction to put together the songs, but also the confidence when you're on stage, you know, and when you're doing a hip hop show and it's you and a mic,
right?
And you know, it's there. You're all there for everyone to see, and you know, hanging out your soul and your emotions through the words you're spitting to people. And yeah, absolutely. You know, hip hop is detrimental in my development as an artist, and finally, you know, of the one man band stuff that I do.
Well, I love it. Everybody here loves it. You know, you're definitely on your way. Is there any projects that you have coming up, or is there, what are you working on? What are some of the things that you have going on in your life right now?
Ooh, excuse me. Well, hey, I got a bunch of shows coming up. September 18th, I'll be at the Bacchus Pub in Bozeman, Montana. Then September 20th, Livingston, the Murray Bar. That's a killer spot. If you've ever been to the Livingston, you got to check out the Murray Bar. Then September 26th, I'll be in Lewistown. And then finally, I'll be here in Billings September 27th at the VIG, up in the Heights there, September 27th. And a whole bunch of shows in October as well. You know, check me out online. Look me up on Facebook. Like my page. Stay in touch with the upcoming shows. I'm always posting, you know, the next show and some tracks off my album. Be sure to search it on iTunes and download a copy for yourself, or order one from cdbaby.com, or even better, come to a show and talk to me. I'll make you a smoking deal.
Sounds like a plan, man.
And if you haven't been out to one of his shows, I've been to his shows, and it's a really nice, easy time. It's a very easy time, enjoyable time to listen, hang out with friends, and like you were talking earlier.
You went to a Vig show.
Yeah, I went to a Vig show.
It's a good time.
And even as busy as that place was and everything, I could just feel the vibration in the room hit a certain level, and it just kind of stayed there with everybody. It was really nice. Really nice there. Yeah, the Vig's a good place to go and see one of your shows, without a doubt.
Well, and you've seen me at the Vig, and really quick, you know, I'm playing at the Murray Bar September 20th, and then Lewistown, which is a big bar. So, you know, the Vig, I turned down a little. These other bars, these other venues, I can crank the bass, and there's people dancing on the dance floor, and it's more of a, you know, party atmosphere. So it's a cool thing. I kind of have both of those sounds in the arsenal.
Okay. Well, cool. Yeah, and the Murray's a nice place. I've been up there as well. It's about that time to wrap this all up here. Tune in to us next week. We're going to have Dead Pass from down in Casper, a metal band. They're going to be in playing for us. And they're also, last week's, we had Endeavor come in. They're right now with Project Independent. Dead Pass is getting ready to go down to Project Independent as well, and they're going to play down in Denver. So if you want to listen to those guys, tune in next week. Hear some of their music and listen to the band. Talk to them a little bit. I'd like to thank some of our sponsors for this show. We've got Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery. Adventure Whitewater is a sponsor. Yellowstone Valley Brewing, they keep us in brew for the show. And Yellowstone Cellars and Winery. And if you get a chance to go out there on Wednesday night for their open mic night, they also have live music on Friday and Saturday night. It's a very relaxed, chill atmosphere to go hang out in. So go check those guys out there.
Yeah. I'll be at the winery October 3rd.
October 3rd, winery. There you go. There's your chance. Come down and see Mr. Nathan North at the Yellowstone Cellars and Winery. And that's what date again?
October 3rd, I believe.
October 3rd. Is that Friday night, Saturday night?
That's a Friday night.
Friday night, October 3rd. There you go. You have it, folks. I think that's about all we got here. We'd like to thank our engineer and the people at Atlantic Technologies, mtradio.net, for putting this together, keeping the stream up and going live for us, giving us a place to be. I'd like to thank our special guest comedian coming in tonight. It's always a pleasure to have him around. And Mandy, our co-pilot, Nathan, thank you so much for coming down here, bro. Really appreciate it.
No, man. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome for having me. I appreciate it a lot. Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to sit down and chat with you. Well, that kind of wraps us up. Not quite. We got a little bit more music to listen to. So as we take it on down, we're going to listen to track 7 off the album, and that is Relentless Search. So as we wind this ship down and get ready to land, keep searching, people. If you know the answer, it's 42, by the way. Keep looking for the question. It's out there. Your ship is a 10 Star Records production. Thank you.
done chatted swiftly. Connect with my target. From now I'm done searching. Relentless search to find what I need. No stones unturned, no unfollowed lead. I've covered each and every possible.